First Peter, 5th chapter, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Start reading at verse number 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let us pray. Father, I thank you so much today for your word and the promises of your word. Thank you for these instructions you've given us in these small amount of verses here that we've read. And we thank you for them. And Lord, once again today, this preacher needs your power. I need your wisdom. I need the clarity of mind and thought and speech. And Father, I just above all need you today as I preach, that we might just bring forth thy word. And Father, that we would listen to it. And Lord, that then we'd be doers of it. We thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning, which I've entitled, If I Were the Devil. That's quite a thought. Don't intend to be that, but I got to thinking about, what if I were the devil? How would I do his work? And I made a decision that he is doing it just exactly the way it needs to be done. And I couldn't improve on it one bit. I am thankful for one thing, that when all is said and done and when the end comes, I know who wins. And he doesn't. But I also know in the meantime that he's going to cause havoc. And he's going to do his best to hinder people getting saved. And let me say to you, I would guess that would be his major goal, would be to stop people from getting saved. I believe also for a Christian, his goal is to stop you from getting people saved. For the unsaved, their eyes are blinded, the Bible tells us. And he'll do his best to blind the eyes of those who believe not. And yet for the Christian, he is busy constantly keeping you and I busy in other affairs of life rather than doing that which God's appointed us to do. And that's bringing people to Christ, seeing that people get saved. So I'm saying to you, his work is a work that I guess you would say is something that he works very hard at. For 6,000 years, he's done it. He's learnt what to do, what not to do, and he's become very efficient at his job. So I got to thinking about some of the things that Satan does, and I thought, if I were Satan, how would I handle it? One of the first things I would do, I would hide what I truly was. I would put that under wraps. I would get people to think well of me and not really that I was really that terrible. I would get people to view me as maybe some red fellow with horns and maybe a tail flipping back and forth with a pitchfork, and that's about as far as it would go. It's much more than that. And the wiles of the devil, the Bible teaches us, are tremendous. It speaks of being cunning, the wiles of the devil. In fact, if you'd want to turn back to the book of Ephesians just for a moment, in the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, let me read to you a verse of scripture and talk about it just a moment. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I want to stop there a moment and say to you, if you're an unsaved person, there's no way that you can defeat Satan. You have no power to do so. You have no power to stand against him. You may think you do, but you don't. Let me speak to you as a Christian. You don't either in yourself have any power to defeat Satan. And what I'm talking about is you're in your own power. You have one within you who has already defeated him. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit we speak of him as. Now, he's already defeated him, but let me say to you, you cannot stand in power and defeat Satan in your own power. It's an impossibility. So that's why God tells us in that verse to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We know that's the only way that we're going to win. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. As I said earlier, that wiles speaks of cunning, crafty arts. He's very deceptive. I've said this so many times, and I need to say it again to remind you, he has no scruples whatsoever. He does not care how he wins. All he's concerned about is winning. He doesn't care how he does it. That's why the Bible speaks of it as wiles. He's very cunning. He's very crafty. The Word of God refers to him and compares to him as to a lion. We just read that in our text verse. Calls him a roaring lion. He's also referred to as many other names. One of them is a dragon. He is a dragon, a wicked beast, a lion, a very powerful, roaring lion, very powerful to stand against God's people. If we need any kind of illustration whatsoever to know what Satan can do, all we would have to do is turn to the book of Job. And where God lifted his hand and allowed Satan to have a certain amount of power in Job's life. And we found out that he was able to bring the body of Job and would have brought it to death, except God said you cannot. But his body was full of sores from the top of his head to his feet, running sores. We find out also that he could take his home, Job's home, and literally about destroy it, killing 10 of his children. Job sat that day and burial day, him and his wife, and faced 10 caskets. Destroyed that home. We also know that he took away the wealth of Job. He took away the donkeys, the sheep, the camels, all of those things that was his livelihood. And he took them away because God said he could. That's what he'd like to do to you too. If you didn't have a hedge around you and I, it'd be gone. Our families would be destroyed. Our bodies would be useless unless God had a hedge around us. And not only that, he brought his friends to stand against him. Three of Job's friends came. Those who were supposed to be his friends came and accused him of all kinds of things. What I'm saying basically is simply this. I want you to understand that Satan works in tremendous wiles, cunning arts ways. He's very good at his job. He knows what he's doing. And what he does good is tries to hide the fact of what he is. You see, we don't think too much about Satan. When things go wrong in the world and the wickedness that's going around this world, we don't give a lot of thought or a lot of credit. Oh, we might say the devil made me do it. And most of the time, that's a misnomer. Devil can't, if you're a Christian, devil can't make you do anything. You understand? If you're a Christian, devil can't make you do anything. You allow him maybe to, but he cannot make you do anything. So what I'm saying, we give him a lot of credit sometimes, but one of the things he does do is he hides what he is. You don't have to turn over there, but in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, let me read to you about three verses of Scripture, 13, 14, and 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. God just simply tells us that false apostles are deceitful workers, and they're transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They're acting like apostles of Christ. He said, don't marvel about this. This is no strange thing, because he says Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He is an angel of darkness, but he transforms into an angel of light. And he hides what he truly is. And that's why he says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Those who refuse to preach the true word of God, who follow Satan's ways and give you a gospel that is not the true gospel, are simply men who have a nice personality, a pretty smile, a winning way about them, and yet telling you absolutely contrary to what the Scripture says. He says, don't be surprised at that, because that's the way Satan works. Now, I'm just simply saying to you, if I were Satan, I would hide the fact of what I really was. And let me say to you, he's sure done a good job of it. He knows how to do it. He's practiced for 6,000 years, and he's done a good job. If I were Satan, I would make sin attractive. I would not show it up for what it really was. He did this in the Garden of Eve, you know, in Eden to Eve, you know. He made it that fruit that you was not supposed to take of, Eve. He made it very attractive. It was good to look at. She desired it, to have it. And let me say to you today, sin is attractive. Anybody says that sin is not attractive and is not desirable from the flesh standpoint just doesn't know sin. It's there. And it's attractive. And we sometimes, people say, well, if it's that good, if it's that nothing, you know, it couldn't be that wrong with it. If that's attractive, well, let us do it. That's Satan telling you that. You see, he'll do anything he can, you see, to make sin look attractive. I've told you this before, and I'm not going to dwell on it. But all you have to do is look at the billboards. And they make them look attractive. Amen? Smoking, drinking, all kinds of sin. Is made to look attractive. You see, the truth is not told us. Now, if I was Satan, that's exactly what I would do. I would cover up the real effect of sin upon people's life, you see. But all you have to do is look at the broken homes, the problems, the troubles, the heartaches that has come from those things that we mentioned there, and you know sin is not attractive. But yet, if I was him, that's exactly what I would do. I would cover up the fact that sin is terrible and wicked and horrible, and it's going to do some terrible things to your life. If I was Satan, I would hinder God's word. The word of God is that which brings faith. The word of God is that one thing that needs to be got out into people's lives. The word of God is that one thing that can bring people to Christ. They can be saved and brought to Christ. If I was Satan, I'd do everything I could to hinder the word of God. Over in the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, we find in that parable there how some of the seed fell by the wayside and the birds came and plucked it up. And of course, the birds were Satan, representative of Satan plucking the word of God. He's constantly doing that. Let me say to you, whether you understand it or not, the spirit of Satan is here this morning. He's here wanting to pluck every word of God that comes through this preacher's mouth. He'll do it in multitudes of ways. Some of it, he'll just get you. You're in it. You've got a bitter spirit about you. You're here this morning, and you're not going to pay attention to what the preacher says. Or you've got some things planned this afternoon, and you're more interested in doing them than you are hearing what the preacher says. I mean, it don't make a difference what it is. He don't care what he uses. Just as long as he plucks it. See, don't make a difference to him. What your problem is, you may have a problem that's just besetting you, and you're just under that problem. That's all you can think about. And right now, you're not thinking about anything about the preacher. You're worrying about your problem. Well, he's one. See, he plucks it. You see, he's good at that. That's what he does. He wants to destroy the word of God. He wants to hinder the word of God's work in your heart, you see, because he knows the word of God is what can help you. Not only that, some of it fell on stony ground and took no root. Some of the word of God this morning that goes forth will go into your heart, and before you hit that front door out there, it'll be gone. Won't have any root to it. Or it might wait till you get home, but it won't last too long, because you'll be thinking of other things, your mind on other things, going different directions. And he's won again because he sowed that seed on stony ground that could not take root. We find also in that portion of Scripture in the book of Matthew that some of it was sowed among the thorns. The cares of this world, the riches of this world. Choke out, the Bible says, the Word of God. So people come to church and they listen to the Word of God, and by the time they go outside, they're so concerned about where they're going to make that next dollar, or the circumstances of life, something that has come up, they're so concerned about it that they let it just choke out what God has said to them in a preaching service. I'm just saying to you, if I was Satan, I'd do anything I could to hinder the Word of God from taking root in your heart. And that's what he does. And I also, if I was him, I would convince you that you're all right, although you've never been saved. That God will accept you just as you are, and that you don't really have to come to God God's way. Oh yeah, if I was him, I sure would hinder you in that way. I'd do everything I could to convince you that church membership is what saves. I'd do everything I could to convince you that baptism will save your soul. I would do everything I could to convince you that you've been a good Joe and you've never tried to hurt anybody upon the face of this earth, and because of that, you're certainly all right. But that's not true. You see, you must be born again. You must be saved. You must come to Christ. There must be a time of new birth, the time of seeing Jesus as who he truly is, and you yourself as who you truly are, and your need of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Repentance toward God. Understand? But old Satan doesn't want you to hear about repentance, doesn't want you to repent. It's an awesome thing to me. I mean, it really is. I understand the Scriptures. I think I do. But it's an awesome, awesome thing to me to think. I have been in hospital rooms. I have been in people's homes where absolutely they have not had hardly any lengthy time to live. And they knew it. And yet would still turn down Christ. That is something that just boggles my mind. I mean, I can't even understand that. Facing an eternity. I mean, going to hell forever, knowing what the Scripture says about it, and will not receive Christ as their personal Savior. It's an awesome, awesome thing to me. I cannot understand it. I can't comprehend it. See, I was in a home this past week. Person's thinking about getting saved. Thinking about it. Awesome things ahead of them. Thinking about getting saved. Why in the world? Well, because Satan blinds the minds of those who believe not. You see, he's good at his job. What we don't realize is the great power that is there, that he has to withhold people from turning to Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. He can't do it unless you're willing to let him. God will save anybody that wants to get saved. But it's awesome to me that people will turn from Christ and take a chance of going into eternity without him. It's an awesome thing. Satan's done his job well. If I were Satan, I would do my best to destroy the power of the church. And my, he's done a tremendous job at this. The power of the church is the Holy Spirit of power that lives within us. You and I cannot function, and you and I cannot get the job done that needs to get done, except we have the power of the Holy Spirit of God to do that job. And yet we, like Samson, get up and shake ourselves and go on our way with no power of God in our life, and wondering why we can't get the job done. I'm reminded back in the book of Revelation, where the Word of God spoke of that God would that you be cold against him or hot for him rather than lukewarm. And I guess I would just, you know, in a little poll here today, not asking you, maybe I should, not asking you to announce where you are, but are you cold against God? I mean, would you just like to stand against him, cold against him? I think most of the people in here would say no. On the other end of the spectrum, if I ask you, are you on fire for God? Is there a burden for the work of God? Is there a flame burning within you? I don't know, but I have a feeling many would say no. And if I would ask you where you are, you'd say, I'm somewhere in between. And that's exactly what God said in Revelation 3rd chapter, lukewarm. And he said, I spew you out of my mouth. God hates lukewarmness. And yet I'm afraid that most of our churches are sitting right in the center, lukewarm. No fire for God. No, not against him. Not hating him. Not just wanting to destroy it. No, no, no. But also not on fire, ready to go out and do the work of God with a fire burning inside, that you know what you're to do and you do it because God has instructed you to do it. But instead, we're in the center, lukewarm. A thing that makes God sick. I'm just simply saying to you folks, Satan's done everything he can to destroy the power of the church. And without power in the church, we won't get the work done that needs to be done. Just can't be done. Impossible. You understand? So has he done his job well? Oh, yes, he has. I want to know something. How many churches do you know of today? And I'm certainly not saying there isn't some. Thank God there is. How many churches do you know of that's aflame with the power of God upon their church, upon their lives? And the church is its people. Amen. How many do you know that's aflame with the power of God and care about the work of God? Where are we at? Oh, we're about in the center. We're in that lukewarm group that makes God sick. I'm simply saying to you, oh, Satan has done his job well. And if I was Satan, that's exactly what I would do. I'd destroy the power of the church. You see, you can't really destroy it. All you can do is allow people not to be filled with it and keep them busy about other things. Understand? And he's done his work well. If I were Satan, I would make the church members stumble and fall. He causes church members to live ungodly lives, to fall into sin. Now, I realize one of the young people came in and told my wife this morning, said they was kind of laughing, and they was doing it in a right way. Understand me? Right way, proper way. They said the pastor and his secretary run off for a couple days. My wife and I had left for just a little mini getaway because it was our anniversary on Wednesday. Been married for 37 years and was laughing about that. And my wife said, you know, it's good that you can say that in fun and not in truth. Now, multitudes across this country, more than you even know, more than I even know. I get probably a little bit more of it than you do, being a pastor. But it's happening all over this country. And it's not just happening in pastors, it's happening in church members, deacons, Sunday school teachers. It's happening. You know why it's happening? Because old Satan's putting the pressure on. And he knows if he can get God's people to fall into sin, he's got them right where he wants them. He knows he's got the church right where he wants them. Do you know it takes a long time to rebuild a reputation for a church? I mean a long time. Let me just say something to you, God's people here. Someone said to me here a while back, hey, you ought to have more coming than what you've got. Of course, they've never been out on visitation in their whole life. I mean, they've never knocked on a door. And let me say this to you. If you're not functioning of helping to bring people into this church, I don't want to hear anything you got to say. I'm not interested in your opinion. But this person said that, and I said, no, let me tell you something. Blessed Hope Baptist Church is a miracle of God. From the things that had happened here and how God put some people back together, it's a miracle of God. I don't care what anybody says. And we look forward to seeing those seats filled. But let me say to you, we as a church are going to have to gain the confidence of the people of this community. Not over 1 year, not over 2 years, and it will be 3 years since we've been back in February. It takes time to gain the confidence of the community. You understand? And the only way we can do that is God's people walk a straight and narrow line. All of us. Don't get caught up in sin. It's filth. It's wicked. It's no good. Amen? Walk a true, straight line. Walk with God. Serve God. Don't stumble. Don't fall. Because that's exactly what they're waiting for us to do. You understand? Oh, Satan, he just loved to have some folk fall in this church. He just loved that. Amen? And if I was him, that's exactly what I'd do to try to get it done. Wouldn't you? Destroy the work of God's work. If I were Satan, I'd try to give the world another gospel. I'd tell them that works is all right. In other words, you get saved by your works. And let me say to you, you do not get saved by your works. You get saved by the wonderful grace of God. But I would tell them that, as I've heard so many people say, yes, I know I've got to accept Christ, but then I have to live the perfect life. And if I was Satan, that's exactly what I'd tell them. Because you're dependent on your works. You're not dependent on Christ when you do that. Now, don't get me wrong. You know how this preacher preaches. I believe when a person gets saved, you ought to live right. You ought to live right, straight down the line. Just straight as a string. Amen? I believe that. But I'm saying you don't get saved by the way you work. You get saved by the grace of God. You put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ. If I was Satan, I would teach the doctrine that you get saved by baptism. And you don't get saved by baptism. But there's multitudes of people in this community and other places across this land that is trusting in their baptism for their salvation. Now, this preacher, you know how I believe it. I believe every person gets saved ought to get baptized. No reason for you, if you're truly a God's child, for you not to follow in baptism. No reason whatsoever. I also would teach them that church membership is good enough. As long as you belong to the church, had your name on its rolls, that's where salvation come from. No, it isn't. You could have your name on 50 churches all across this county. 50 churches, and you still go straight to hell when you die. Now, don't get me wrong. Should your name be on a church? Absolutely. Ought to be on the church rolls of a good, independent, fundamental Baptist church. Your names ought to be there because you're showing forth that you're going to serve the Lord there and you're going to get behind that church and you're going to help that church. You're going to be a blessing to that church. Ought to be there, but it'll never gain you salvation. But if I was old Satan, I'd sure teach that it would. I'd do everything I could to bring about false teachings concerning Christ and the Bible. Why? So that we could bring another gospel instead of the true gospel of Jesus. If I were Satan, I would get men to give excuses. Like they did over in the book of Luke, the 14th chapter. One of them said, I got a farm. Can't come to the supper. I've got a farm. I've got to look it over. I've got to take care of it. Evidently, he hadn't even seen it. He bought it and hadn't even seen it. And if I was Satan, I'd just do that. I'd put other things more important than the things of God. One of them said also he had 5 yoke of oxen. He was going to have to try them. He had bought him a car, never driven it. Oxen and never tried them. So Sunday morning, just at supper time, he had to go and he had to go check it out. That's the way it is in churches all across the land, in this community, everywhere else. A lot of folk got a lot of things to do on Sunday morning when church time comes. I mean, just multitudes of things. They've just got to do them then. They can't do them any other time. No. Got to do them right now, right? Exactly the hours I'm going to be in their church. You make a choice. You decide. And old Satan helps you. Amen. One another man said, I've got a wife. Got married. Said, so I can't come to the supper. Dear wife, let me tell you something. If your husband is an unbeliever, you come to Christ. You get saved. You walk with God. Dear husband, if your wife is an unbeliever, you walk with God. You serve God. You love God. You come to Christ. Get saved. Don't let anybody stop you from getting to heaven. Amen? Don't let anybody. I don't care who it is. Don't let anybody stop you. You don't know how many times I've been in homes where a dear wife would say, if he'll get saved, I will. See the responsibility that we husbands have of leadership? You don't know how many times. I remember this family years ago when I was here. They was in their 80s. And, oh my, they've grieved my heart so many times. Another one right down here, down this road, on out toward Boat Corner. I've been in their homes, and they'd say, I get saved if he will. No, he said, I think I'll wait a while. In his 80s, I think I'll wait a while. I'm just not quite ready. Well, he never did get ready. Never did. Dear wife, saying, if he'll get saved, I will.
Listen, wife, you get saved no matter whether that husband gets saved or not. Husband, you get saved whether that wife gets saved or not. You get saved because you're not going to stand with him or her at the judgment seat. Amen? But if I was old Satan, I'd use every excuse under the sun. Lastly, if I was Satan, I would attack the home with everything I had. Every power I had, I would attack the home. I'd cause the dad to be an unscriptural, unspiritual leader in that home. I'd cause that dad to not want to pick up his Bible and go to the house of God and take over the leadership of that home. I'd cause that mom to be a rebellious mom. That even if dad wanted to go, that she would rebel against it and not want to go, and not want to walk the Christian life. You don't know how many times in my ministry where I've seen women who said to me, I'd just give anything if my husband was a Christian and would do right. And I've turned right around and I've seen that husband get saved and that wife start rebelling. She didn't really want to live that way. She just wanted the sympathy that went with it. I'm just simply saying to you folks, if I was Satan, I would attack the home. I would make children be so rebellious they would rebel against everything. If I was Satan, I wouldn't have any Bible reading in my house. I wouldn't even have a Bible. If I did have one, I'd leave it on the shelf all the time. Let it gather dust. Never open it. If I was Satan, I would never pray. I wouldn't even thank God for meals. I'd never hear the voice of prayer in the home. If I was Satan, that's what I would do. And if I was Satan, I'd do everything I could to keep families from attending the house of God and hearing the Word of God preached. I'd do everything I could. I'd stop them with everything. I remember back when Donna and I decided we thought we ought to get in church. It was after my little daughter walked up to me and said, "Why don't we go to church like other folk go?" I felt like that. And Don and I, after that, decided to go to church, and I'd get up one morning, and I'd say, "Honey, we're going to go to church," and she said, "I don't want to go." Next Sunday, we'd get up, and she said, "Honey, let's go to church," and I said, "No, I ain't going." You say, "You explain that." I just know Satan was working, that's all I know. I mean, this went on for quite a lengthy time. Every time that I wanted to go, she didn't want to go, and that's all it took. And if she wanted to go, I didn't want to go. And that's all it took. Finally, we got that thing together somewhere. God worked and brought us into the house of God, and we've been very few times since that day that we haven't been in the house of God on Sundays, Wednesdays. Very few times. Because after that, we began to go, listen, hear. After we'd sat there for some time, we got to hear the Word of God. We got saved, come to know Christ as our Savior. I'm just simply saying to you, folks, Satan hates Christianity. He hates the Savior. He doesn't want you to get saved. He'll do anything to stop you. And if you are saved, he'll do anything to stop you from being the kind of Christian that'll win others to Christ. Amen? The wiles of the devil. Cunning craftiness of the devil. Let me assure you one thing. If something in you doesn't want to do things the way the Bible wants them done, or the way God would want them to be done, you can mark it down for one thing. It's not God. I mean, amen? That's not God. Now, you know that. Face it, who it is. Face that rascal and say, "You're not going to get victory in my life anymore. By the power of the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to serve God." You have to make those decisions. You have to make those decisions. No one else can make them for you. No one can. But God wants them made to His glory. Amen? Now that's what I'd do, and a whole lot of other things, if I was Satan. You know what it is? Do exactly what he's doing. Doing exactly what he's doing. I'd take God out of the schools. I'd take God out of the government. Has he accomplished it? I'd take God out of the churches. He's good at his work, isn't he? Just ask you to let the Lord work on your heart. If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Ross, I don't know I'm saved. Don't let Satan stop you from getting saved this morning. God wants you to be saved. God loves you. He wants to give you eternal life, you see. You're here as a Christian. You say, Brother Ross, I know I'm not walking with God like I ought to. Now, I know Satan's hindered me in so many ways. I want to be stronger in the Lord. I want to do the work of God. We invite you to come to an altar of prayer this morning. You need to be saved? Come. Need to come as a Christian? Come. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God and for your goodness to us. And Father, we can look at some of the wiles of the devil and recognize them. Lord, but he's such a deceptive one. He's so good at his deception. We simply pray that we as Christians will not allow him to hinder the work you've given us to do. We pray if there's those here without Christ, O God, that they'd see how old Satan's been deceiving them, and this would be the day of their salvation. I just simply pray and ask your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.